Welcome to Envisioning Success, the weekly podcast that's your prescription for business clarity. In today's episode, we dive into the art of crafting effective sales messaging with hosts Laura Di Benedetto and Julia Becker Collins. Get ready to uncover the secrets behind compelling sales pitches and the power of consistency. From avoiding common messaging mistakes to maintaining continuity throughout long sales cycles, Laura and Julia share invaluable insights to help you build trust and elevate your brand.
So listen, last time we ran the um-o-meter and Julia won. She only said twice. I said five times. And every time I said I died inwardly a little bit because I heard it. I'm like, fail. Oh, well. So, Julia, you win a prize. I don't know what you win other than being a winner, but you win.
I'm number one.
Yeah, you are. You are the wiener.
I'm the wiener. All right. So this week, thank you for joining us on Envisioning Success. I'm your host, Julia Becker Collins, and I am joined by the lovely and talented Laura Di Benedetto. This show is sponsored by Vision Advertising, and we are celebrating our 25th year.
You did a great job. That's usually me, but thank I had you. The giggles.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel like I'm really good at like mimicking. I feel
you are. Yeah. My favorite minor bird.
Thank you. Nailed it.
So anyway, I always like to do the housekeeping and encourage like, subscribe, shares, do all the things. Please let the world know this is a great show and you're learning a lot that helps us to provide great content to you. Check us out at vision-advertising.com. This month's theme is all about integrity in sales, helping you sell better. So this particular episode is all about effective sales messaging and being consistent. The last one was about selling with integrity for long-term growth. So there's a continuity going on here, and we're really excited to be able to talk about these things. And the major things that we really want to talk about with the sales messaging is all about continuity, clarity, consistent messaging, creating customer satisfaction. I love this subject.
As do I, and I feel like this dovetails really well off of last week's episode.
I thought you said we weren't corporate. You said dovetail.
I say that all the time.
I know, and I'm secretly mocking you every time I hear it.
That's not that secret.
That's true. I thought I had a good poker face. I was wrong. Crap.
Negative.
All right. So, Julia, I'd love to first get your thoughts around pretty much sales messaging in general. What do you think? What do you think people are doing right, largely? And what do you think people are doing wrong, largely?
Big question.
I know.
Big,
it's huge.
Huge open-ended question. Thank you so much. Well, I'll take the back half of that question first, Alex. So there is unfortunately more being done wrong than being done right. And I am not here to say that I am perfect and everything we do is amazing, but I will say that at Vision Advertising, we have really great authenticity and good consistency in our sales messaging and our marketing messaging. And just for clarity for the listener, you know, sales and marketing hold hands. So sometimes your sales messaging and your marketing messaging are very similar. So that's why sometimes we use the terms interchangeably. However, we are very clear that they are two different parts of the funnel. And if you go back to listen to a previous episode, we talk about the marketing funnel versus the sales funnel. So in this instance, I see sales and marketing messaging that's kind of all over the place, not telling people what to do with the information they're being given, not giving a call to action, not telling people why they should care about the information they're being given. Instances of sales messaging, guaranteeing everything, guaranteeing certain results that is A, impossible, and B, you can't guarantee results almost ever with a service industry. And it's more thinking about the importance of closing the sale, closing any sale, getting money in the door, rather than that long-term growth that we talked about last episode and have been talking about for a number of weeks and at this point months, that it's very short-sighted. It's whatever I can do to get the business in the door. I know you mentioned last episode that when you were a baby entrepreneur, sometimes that's what happened with you. And we've seen it happen with other sales people that we've tried to hire in the past and other marketing agencies, unfortunately, but also just professional sales providers where they'll promise you the sun, moon, and stars now to get you to sign on the dotted line and pay. But in the end, they're not doing any of those things because all they're focused on is the sale. And that's when there's that big disconnect between sales and marketing and what's being promised versus what's being delivered in accounts or operations, et cetera.
Mm. Thank you. I agree wholeheartedly. So another question I have for you is, how does consistent messaging, and this would be consistent from the marketing to sales process, just both of those things, how does that process and that consistency build customer trust?
Oh, this is huge when it comes to building customer trust. When you have that consistency in brand messaging, in authenticity and integrity from the first communication in marketing into the sales process and then further into the buying and the customer process, that makes the client feel like they're wrapped in a warm blanket of trust, that everything has been the same across the board. So they're not raising any red flags saying, hey, this is really different. I was told A, but now I'm being given X. Everything is across the board and the intent is the same, providing the best service possible. So in our case with Vision, we will tell you if it's not a great thing for you to purchase that item for us. We will tell you if we don't specialize in what you're talking about, or we will tell you, hey, yes, we could do that, but I actually think you should be doing this thing over here instead, because that's going to serve you and your avatar and your goals much better. And when they hear that at every point in the sales process, and you're kind of pushing back on them and saying, hey, well, I'm the expert in this area, and my suggestion is to do A, B, and C, rather than just being an order taker, you're saying, I'm an expert in my field. Let me help you with this.
No, that's spot on. For years, I've had assorted clients and prospective clients and folks who just haven't purchased from us ask me, hey, can you put me on, as an example, can you put my company on Facebook? My answer, if it's a good fit, is yes, but you have to be able to say to the people where it's not a fit, no, because your avatar isn't there, but I can put you here instead. And a great way for everybody to understand this would be, do you want to go to your cardiologist and give your cardiologist instructions, or would you rather have your cardiologist know what they're doing and call the shots because they're an expert at it?
Absolutely. I have an example from a client, I think it was last year or the year before, they asked me about putting their brand on TikTok. We were already doing Facebook and Instagram for them. And excuse me, they had heard, you know, through the whatever grapevine that they should be on TikTok. And I said very clearly to them, you know, the audience on TikTok is very young. Here's what sells really well on TikTok. Here are the products and services that sell well there. Unless I'm mistaken, that's not who you're selling to. That's not your audience at all. You're selling to 60-year-old white women in Idaho who are not the majority of the people on TikTok. So yes, we could do that for you, but I actually think it's a really bad use of your time, money, and expertise to be investing in that area. I would, however, say that if we got more content, more photos, more video of your service, we could double down on Facebook for you because that's really where your avatar is living, eating, breathing, and making buying decisions.
Mm. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had so many versions of that exact conversation over the years where know, people want to be on the wrong thing, not realizing it's the wrong thing, but it's the new and shiny thing and it's the popular thing. I want to be where all the popular kids are. Well, nobody blames you, but you actually really want to be where your avatar is. So that's another example of that, you know, trust building. So what strategies, Julia, do you like to use in maintaining message continuity in long sales cycles?
Talk about a $50 word.
What?
That's continuity. It's a good word.
It is.
Big fat word. There's a number of strategies. We've previously talked about training the staff, empowering your staff, setting expectations with any external facing staff to be on brand and understand what they should be talking about and how they should be talking to the client. Or the potential client, if they're in sales meetings, as we have discussed, the larger the client, the larger the sale, oftentimes the longer the sales cycle, which can be, you know, annoying, but is what it is. Mm-hmm. So an example is that I have somebody I've been in the process of selling for, I think it's over 6 months at this point, but it's a very large potential sale. I follow up with him religiously. He knows me. I have met with him in person. He likes my personality. He likes that I'm snarky and I tell it like it is. He likes that I bug him and I say, hey, don't forget about this. And so, you know, some of that continuity is that you have the same person following up with you. So mm-hmm. you get to know the person. And as we have always said, and I will continue to say forever, people buy from people. People don't buy from brands. Mm. So you build that relationship. And just like we've talked about in the past, you and I both have very authentic voices. Our brand is a very authentic voice. So he's hearing the same thing from me over and over again. And then when he meets with our staff to have a more involved sales conversation, he says to me, and he has said this to me, oh, you guys really are all on the same page. I'm hearing very similar, not the same, but very similar things from all of you. And that expectation has been set with him up front that, you know, this is what this person does, and this is what this person does, and here is how we will communicate with you. And then you, as the salesperson or the business leader, need to stick to that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's also getting a lot of that vision experience, TM, like I said in the last episode, he's getting that now because we're always very attentive to our clients. And sometimes people are not ready to pull the trigger on something that's really big and scary, but they want to, and they just really need more relationship handholding. We follow up with everybody. We manage the relationships even before people do business with us. We manage the relationships after. And we help people to find the success they're looking for. And most notably, when people are stepping on their own foot, we lovingly help them get off of it Monday through Friday.
Yes. I would also say that another tool in your toolbox is continued marketing while you're going through the sales process. So this prospect that I'm talking about, he's receiving emails from us, marketing emails. He's getting the podcast episodes sent over to him. If I think of an article that he should read, I send that along. But he's also getting messaging from us as a company that is, again, with that same voice that's consistent with the brand. So he's getting multiple touch points, and they're all aligned in terms of the voice and the continuity of what we're offering.
Well, also our existing clients are getting all the same stuff. So it's not like there's any sort of inconsistency between what you get before or after. It's like, no, you're actually going to get all this stuff. The difference is you'll have people helping you do it for you versus now where you're just kind of a spectator. I think it's a wonderful way for people to really get that whole vision experience for at least for our brand perspective, when you know, you do have that longer sales cycle. And shoot, we're going to be keeping our clients for decades, and we tend to do that. I don't mind a long sales cycle. I'd rather sell it well, make sure they're happy, and that it's a really good fit, head, heart, and wallet. I wouldn't want someone to join our agency if they're not 100% all in, or they felt pressured, or if it's like ooky in any way. I don't like that at all.
Agreed. So let me ask you, if somebody has a sales team and it's not just them delivering the messaging, how do you recommend that they ensure that sales team deliver a consistent message across all the interactions beyond what we've already talked about?
A lot of training. Training is really everything, but a lot of healthy conversations about it. I feel like avatar construction, again, please re-listen to those episodes if you haven't. It really, really bears repeating that people really need to understand how to build an avatar profile, but also to specifically train and involve the team, not just, hey, here's a document. Okay, figure it out and expect adherence. Forget it. It's like handing your spouse like a list of stuff you expect them to do. They're just going to laugh at you. But if you include them in the process, have conversations, do role playing. Hey, well, what happens if I encounter this? What, you know, well, how am I supposed to handle this when I'm emailing people? Well, use maybe some of these terms instead of these terms. Be more yourself. Or as leaders, we can help people to find ways for them to be successful. So I think about when I'm helping anybody to create that fluidity with the brand voice and brand consistency, a lot of it is role playing, but a lot of it is identifying where that brand might actually occur within that person's life already. So providing that role playing and that support and the leadership to like really meet people where they are and help them to figure out where they can be successful. Honestly, a great example would be with my other company. We do ammunition, and it's very, very different than marketing, right? And when we bring people on, it's not always, they're not always our avatar, but they do have elements of the avatar. And my job as the leader is to be able to be like, hey, you know how when we're talking about this particular subject, the conversation is really easy and it's fun for you? That's the brand voice. Giving them specificity and being able to point it out and really help them. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So use that voice all the time. And oftentimes it's easy for people once they actually have a tangible moment in their life where they already use it. I think, yeah, it's in writing. Sometimes people have a tendency to be super stiff in their writing because, Lord, colleges, can you please stop educating the young people on writing like crap? Stop it. This is not how people like to be spoken to, is like really formal and like arm's length. It's actually repulsive. When you're training people on how to execute your brand voice, ours is a little bit warmer. That needs to be able to translate across voice, over the phone, in person, also in writing and in emails. It can't just be, oh, hey, I'm super chill on the phone, but I have a stick up my butt when I'm in email. That doesn't work. You know?
Absolutely.
It's inconsistent.
Agreed. Well, do you want to put a bow on this one?
Yeah, we certainly can. I think that you and I have definitely done a lot of interesting sales over the years, and being able to make this process easier for people is really important. I think that being able to tie all of your messaging together, your marketing, your sales messaging, all of it, and make it 100% all about your avatar, and including people in that, making it consistent, giving people the insert your company name here experience and making that consistent. Honestly, it's just creating a great relationship. And that's probably the very core of what we're talking about here, is trust building and building quality relationships, which is what marketing can help you do, sales can help you do. But these are simply just frameworks, right?
That was a great job of putting a bow on it.
Ta-da!
Good job. I'm so proud.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Laura DiBenedetto, joined by the lovely and talented Julia Becker Collins. We are sponsored by Vision. Check us out at vision-advertising.com. If you have questions, we'd love to hear what you want to know about. We'd love to cover them in a future episode. If you have questions for us that you don't want in an episode and you just want some help, then just shoot us a note through our website, vision-advertising.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.